I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
KSC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, Corey Majors. And the famous Alec Medford. And for the final time, what?
You all right, buddy?
Yeah.
Your allergies been kicking
your
butt?
Yeah, they really have.
You need an Allegra?
I might, if it doesn't make me fall asleep. And for the final time this season, unless tremendous news breaks, which it very well could, we bring you, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Golly, you sound very finality about that.
Yeah, I might have made
and
that
this is the end,
too
Mickey.
Much of a grandiose discussion. And in fact, while we should probably start with the Cowboys, I want to know how locked in were you on college football last night? Because obviously I know you are super into the Mavs as well. Did college football take precedent for you last night? Did you try to balance both? How'd it go?
College football had the big screen TV on. The small TV had the Mavericks on.
Okay, right on. Mm-hmm. What when you watch Trinidad Chambliss, your thoughts about him as a draft pick, not for the Cowboys, just in general, your thoughts about him as a professional NFL quarterback?
He's going to get gobbled up as soon as he declares for the draft. If he plays one more year or is allowed to play one more year at Ole Miss, but I would imagine he has created a pretty good path for himself into the NFL. If you're looking at what teams are trying to find in their quarterbacks, I think he fits the bill. He's awfully sharp. He sees the field. He can use his legs. And he can throw in the pocket. He can throw on the run. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, man. He's just got that it factor that goes along with it, like the confidence, the way he steps into his throws. I love everything about it.
And this is somebody.
And he's a guy that people want to follow.
Yes.
Right? You can see it.
How important is that as a quarterback?
It's
because
huge.
Especially as the NFL has evolved more and more quarterback-centric, it feels like you want and maybe you need a quarterback that people are ready to follow.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that he's just got the right personality, the right character that when you hear him talk, it's not all about me, right?
Right.
It's always about the team and everybody else. And you can see he I don't know what it was like before Kiffin left, but he seemed to have filled in a void for the offense that, hey, just come along with me and we'll get this done, right?
Yeah.
And that was a phenomenal game last night. I can't remember seeing one that went back and forth like that with both teams playing at a pretty darn high level.
Now, we had lamented some. I'll just say me. I definitely am lamented about I thought the Cowboys were being a little bit of a slowpoke to get some of these interviews set up. But it turns out they might have been leading the pack, whether it was requesting to interview Dorontae Jones from the Vikings, Jim Leonard, who we've talked a whole lot about.
I think it's Him Leonard is what we're going to call
yes,
him from now on.
That's Corey's guy, is Jim Leonard or Him Leonard, and then getting denied on Jeff Ulbrich from Atlanta. They've set up several interviews to get the process going.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, you take care of some of these guys that you can talk to. It doesn't mean, you know, they're at the top of the list. I think that, I could remember them going through several interviews, regardless of if it was a coordinator or a head coach. Because now it's an opportunity to pick the brain of guys on other teams to see not only what they think on certain aspects of the game, but you can also ask him about your team. You know, what do you know about my team and where we can improve? So sometimes it's a fact-seeking mission more so than, okay, this is one of my top guys I want to interview, because there's so many more guys out there. But again, a lot of these guys are going to end up getting interviewed for head coaching jobs, right?
Right.
And they're not going to rush in to say, oh, okay, I can be a defensive coordinator again, right? No, they're what, eight jobs open now?
Yep.
And a lot of these guys are looking at that, and I bet they look at it first. Now, do you want to wait on those guys to kind of sift through, or do you want a guy like Leonard? And I'm with you on him. The more I dug into his history, coaching, playing in college, in the NFL, the fact that Schottenheimer has some sort of knowledge of him when they were with the Jets together, I think that he sort of fits the bill as an up-and-coming guy that has not only been Denver's pass game coordinator, but he was the assistant head coach. And obviously, Sean Payton knows everything he needs to know about the guy, and the Cowboys still have a good relationship with Sean to pick his brain. Now, again, in that case, though, their defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, is going to interview for head coaching jobs, right?
Yep.
And the Broncos might say, hey, not so fast, right? Because we might want to promote this guy to our defensive coordinator. But that one intrigues me. And the fact that, you remember Jerry talking about he likes guys that had to kind of pick themselves off the ground and establish themselves.
Yeah.
Well, this guy was a walk-on at Wisconsin, right? And then he was a defensive coordinator in college for 4 or 5 years. So I think, you know, if you look at his background, you're going, okay, this might be a kind of guy that you can take a chance on. Now, having said that, you also might want to hire somebody on that defensive staff that maybe is not the coordinator, but maybe some sort of consultant that has some experience of being a coordinator, and just somebody to bounce thoughts off of if it's a first-time NFL defensive coordinator.
Anybody but Jonathan Gannon, you know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding, Mick.
Was
I'm just kidding.
Shot at what I said about
Mickey,
him?
Mickey, you were too hyped about him yesterday.
I'm
kind
just
of came
kidding.
Off that way just a little bit, but
just
it's all right.
Just kidding.
I am kind of curious, Mickey, like looking forward now too, though, because a lot of people get caught up in best player available no matter what. Stephen Jones has been very adamant about BPA at position of need. Well, the position of need is defense with this team. How heavy do you think that this Cowboys team should go in that draft whenever they're looking for defensive players? Because
maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, missed some players.
Providing the draft provides them that, right?
It looks like it's going to. I think this is a pretty good
one. Right?
Yeah.
You should, at number 12, have probably a pretty good selection of defensive players. And, you know, and I was looking at, I can't believe somebody's already got a mock draft on, but I should believe it, right?
Yes.
And I started counting, and I saw, like, couple quarterbacks, couple wide receivers, two offensive linemen, and I'm sitting there going, okay, if that falls that way, then by the time you get to 12, there should be a bunch of defensive guys. Now, there was about three or four projections for defensive ends, which you could go that way. But I like the fact that there were some middle linebackers available, and looks like one more just came out, right? The guy at Ohio State.
Yep.
So, yeah, between And I don't know if there was a bunch of cornerbacks, but hey, one of each at some point in the draft, I think that you would make yourself happy. Then again, and Stephen pointed it out in 2020 when they were dead set on drafting a defensive player with their first round pick at 17, and all of a sudden CeeDee Lamb sitting there right in their laps. So you can't be just totally committed to saying, I got to have that, because you don't know how that draft's going to pan out. And you got to be flexible enough to say, but this guy is such a great player at that spot, I can't pass him up.
Now, I know we've talked a lot about the defense, but I saw this stat, and on the surface it seems like a positive thing, but I also feel like this is a bad thing. Brandon Aubrey made a field goal in every single Cowboys game this year. He was the first Cowboys player to get a field goal in 16 games in franchise history, and then he hit it in the 17th game in franchise history. So while we do need to pour resources into the defense, an offensive discussion that needs to be had is, man, oh, man, we can't just keep getting 3-3-3 next year, regardless of who the defensive coordinator is.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at it and where the deficiency was offensively, because you're kicking field goals, right?
Yep.
But you're also moving the football pretty consistently. You just weren't getting in the end zone.
Yeah.
And a lot of that sometimes have to do, and I know they've spent all these resources on the offensive line, but I think you have to make a decision there. What are you going to do at the tackle position? And if you happen to move somebody to the tackle position, then what am I doing at the guard position? Now, you're not going to probably draft a pure guard in the first round, and I caught a lot of heat when, you know, they ended up doing a guard in the first round with Tyler Smith, but he had tackle capability also. So, I think that's something maybe in free agency. You can find a veteran guard if you're moving Tyler Smith to left tackle. And again, that's got to play out. You got to see where it goes. But to me, one of the reasons you ended up kicking so many field goals is you moved into field goal position. You just had trouble on third down too many times. And I think a lot of that has to do, while you had a 1,200-yard rusher, very rarely did you run the ball into the end zone from afar.
Now, somebody has texted this in for quite some time, and we haven't asked it, but they want to know, from your time at the, was it the Jackson Daily News? If
yes, it was.
Did you cover the Jackson Mets or the Jackson Generals? This person has texted this in a bunch. They have been very patient. Did you cover either one of those teams?
I covered the Jackson Mets, yes. As a matter of fact, I was covering them when Darryl Strawberry first got to Double A.
Wow. Did you know he was going to be...
And he started at Double A, if I remember correctly. He was a first-round draft choice of the Mets.
Did you know, like, pretty straight away, holy cow, this guy's got all the potential in the world?
I figured he wasn't going to be there very long. And you know what? He was, and I don't know if, you know, you go to New York or whatever, if it changes your personality, but he was a pretty personal guy, and I guess, you know, he was probably at that time maybe 18, 19 at the most, and he was engaging. And I remember, I would have to think real hard who the manager was then, but he had pointed out to me, he goes, well, you know what this Strawberry guy does on his off days? He goes, if my wife and I want to have a date, he babysits our kids.
Wow. Really?
Now, think about that. Darryl Strawberry babysitting your kids, right? You wouldn't have thought twice about it now, but back then, that was him. But yes, I did cover him for, I want to say, 2 years at least, and I also was the official scorekeeper for those games, right?
Wow.
And then I did it for maybe a year and a half, and one day during batting practice, I'm out there, and the catcher comes up to me, and he goes, "Hey, you know, you're a little hard on giving guys errors instead of hits." And I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, you know, in this league, to move up, you got to improve your batting average. And if you give a guy an error out there, then you're not helping my guy's batting average." And I immediately walked to the general manager and I said, "I resign. You got to find somebody else."
Well, and look, Mick, it only took about 40 years, but now baseball hardly ever gives out errors. And so they help out with that of the time.
I thought I was doing the right thing. You know, I spent my childhood going to White Sox games, right? And I knew what an error was and what a hit was. But they wanted hits, right? It didn't matter what was happening. But yes, I did do that, by the way.
Man,
awesome. What a cool story.
A fella for all seasons.
And I also covered Ole Miss. And I could remember writing columns, and people wanted me to run out of town because I told them they would not improve. I wrote a column about you will not improve your recruiting, because at that time, Steve Sloan was having problems getting black players to go to Ole Miss, or at least the top ones. And I said, "You got to get rid of Colonel Reb. You got to get rid of the flag. You got to get rid of, you know, singing Dixie and all this stuff." And, oh, it was, "You Yankee, you go back to the North," you know. But it took about 15 years, 10 years, and then they finally came around. See? And now look where they're at.
Mickey's ahead of the curve in all sports, covering all teams. Man,
are we going to bring him back as an insider for Mavs and Rangers and Stars?
Mickey, people are demanding your return for Mavs and Stars and other Rangers content. So we might just have you on like once a week just to talk about other sports things.
Well, you know, back in my newspaper days, before I became the Cowboys beat writer, I was the backup on all those teams.
I'm talking about.
Obviously, the Stars weren't there yet.
Right.
But the Mavs and the Rangers, I did all that stuff.
Hey, Dallas Times Herald forever, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. Thank you very much, good sir.
And by the way, thank you guys. This was a fun season to be on with you guys. And I know a lot of time, my opinion doesn't go with everybody else's, but you guys put up with it whether you agreed with me or not. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely, Mickey. Absolutely. There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. Look, man, I love talking to Mickey. I love that acknowledgement right there. He goes, "Hey, it's not for everybody."
Yeah, he's telling everybody that's listening that, that sometimes disagrees. There's some people out there that do. Some people love it. And I always say this, the ratings tell us what to do. And the ratings are good whenever Mickey's on, so I'll keep rolling with that.
There's a reason he was on all week. All right, Mickey brings the listeners. Yeah. He really does.
And I like Mickey. I know, like, I worked with him a long time ago, and he kind of gets me a little more now. But I like that he's kind of loosened up on this show. He has some fun with us. We don't just talk certain things. And he gets into it with us, man. So I enjoyed a lot.
And he is the new Mike of Masterpiece of the Week.
Yeah, somebody just pointed out this is the last week that he could win Masterpiece of the Week.